Matthew 28 says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Well, thank the Lord for that. He is not here, for he is risen, risen indeed. Let's turn to hymn number 176. 176.
My Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. From the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Excellent. Thank you very much. I let my wife sleep in a little bit, and really to get the boys up a little later so they won't be so cranky later today. So that's why we didn't have piano this morning, but we had an enjoyable time of singing in any case. Well, we have a full day today, and We're going to start out with Brother Jack Mitchell speaking with us for a few minutes. He's got about a half an hour. If he stops a few minutes early, I'm sure that won't bother all of us that have to go make our breakfast. And if he stops by then, we'll have plenty of time to enjoy fellowship together. But I'm just so glad to have these folks with us, both Jack and Jennifer, and also Terry and Carol. And it's been how long since you've been here? 2 years it's been. It's so amazing. I remember just like it was yesterday, them over there showing their slides of their last time, and now they're going to have to cram 2 years of updates into one session, so in the Sunday school hour. That'll be after our breakfast, but it'll be right here. It won't be over there, but they will do that as well. And then in the morning service, I've asked Brother Terry Thompson if he will speak, and we're looking forward to that as well. These folks have put up with me two, three times now at the board meetings, and sometimes, I think especially in the spring one, it gets pretty full at your house, so I've had to sleep wherever there's room. And I learned that what you have to do, this is what you have to do, you have to schedule your flight so you don't get in too late on Monday for the Tuesday meeting, see? Because if you get in at midnight like I did one time, then you get the leftovers. It's the couch, brother. Sorry. So get there a little earlier and you get a better pickings. But in any case, we've enjoyed fellowship with those folks down there. And you know, we've supported them and also the Gosens, Tim and Christina and Harold and Priscilla, and also Raul and Jane Vialba now. We've been able to send help to them as well. So we're just so thankful to have fellowship in the gospel with them, and so that they're here today. Just passing through, decided to stop for Easter and come to church on Sunday morning. It's a pretty good idea, and so we're glad they're here as well. But in any case, I think this evening we're going to have a number of folks with some music, and then we'll have some scripture reading, and I think I'm going to ask these. Well, I'm not sure if Terry was planning to share some of their information or not. I don't know if I got to him about that yet, but maybe they'll share a little bit of stuff about what they've been doing, and then we might have a little Q&A session for the missionaries. And no hard questions, just the softballs, please. And so we'll do that if we have. I don't know how much music we have tonight. I have to check with on that, so we'll see how much that will take up. But in any case, that's the plan. And glad you're here to participate with us today. Brother Mitchell, we look forward to hearing what you have to share with us from the Word of God and about your work and all. So thank you very much.
Well, it's great to be here this morning. I've been looking forward to this for a while now. And we were with Terry and Carol last week up at Northland. And I had to find out when he was leaving Northland to come here so that we could leave first, so that we could get the best pickings in the post-it home. And I was going to say, fortunately for us, he got a flat tire on the way. But that's not very kind, is it? it's been great to be with them last week and to have the joy of being with them again today at Matt and Naomi's house. We had a great evening of fellowship last evening with Anna there as well. And so we're thankful for being here, especially on this joyous occasion, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today for my salvation. What a joy it is to know the Lord as your Savior. I want to just look in one verse here first, to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, just reflecting on the fact of our salvation today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I wonder, Matt, how many times people introduce a pastor and say, if he stops early, we'll have more to eat. That's what you said, if I stop. More time to eat. Yeah, more time to eat. So I'm going to try to stop really early because I'm really hungry this morning. No. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul is speaking here. He says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. My salvation was all of God. Your salvation was all of God. God chose us. What a privilege it is to be chosen of God to be His children. And I remember I heard the gospel many, many times before I was saved. My wife was saved a number of years, most of you know, for almost 14 years before I was. And she tried to share the gospel with me many times during that time. And I can honestly say to you that I only heard the gospel once. And that was the day I was saved. That was the day I was saved in 1987. So I heard it many times, but it's God that draws us to Himself. It's all of God. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So our salvation is all of God. And I praise the Lord again for my salvation. Let's look at the gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel in 1st Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel. What did we respond to when we, that day that we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? We responded to the gospel message, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. It says there, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So the gospel, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And we trust in a risen Savior who has died for our sins, the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it tells us there that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. And so I'm thankful today, this morning, for my salvation. I'm so thankful for it. But without Jesus Christ's resurrection, we wouldn't be here today rejoicing in our salvation. There would be no chance of salvation because of His resurrection. We do serve a risen Savior, a risen Savior. Look in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, starting in verse 12. We'll read some verses here, starting in verse 12. It says here, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Sorry. "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at His coming." So Jesus Christ's resurrection, He was the first fruits. And so I'm thankful for that. The Bible also talks about our resurrection. Our resurrection in the last days, but also our spiritual resurrection, our spiritual new life. We are raised with Christ. And that is an amazing story in and of itself, isn't it? That we are so identified with Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, a wonderful, we'll say, story. It's not really a story, it's a spiritual truth, but it's an amazing account here in Ephesians chapter 1. And, I enjoy the whole chapter 1 and spoke on this a few weeks ago in our church. There's so many wonderful blessings in the first 14 verses of chapter 1 that we, because of our salvation, we can enjoy in Christ. Wonderful blessings. And we don't have time this morning to look at them all. But in verse 15, Paul goes on to say, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Wonderful portion there. But Paul was talking to the Ephesian believers here, and he was telling them that he wanted them to know three things. He wanted them to know three things in verses 18 and 19, or verse 18. First of all, he wanted them to know the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. The assurance, we'll say, of our salvation. The hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then the third thing here, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul had a hard time here describing the power that God has, the greatness of his power. The greatness of his power. At the end of that verse, he talks about according to the working of his mighty power. His mighty power. So this power of God is available to each and every one of us today. Today, this power of God, because we are a child of God, is available to us. And Paul wanted the Ephesian believers to understand this, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. To usward who believe. And then he describes his power in verse 20, and he said, "This is the power that raised a dead man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. This is the power that raised him from the grave, and then went on and gave him a new body and placed him at God's own right hand in the heavenly places." Now, this power, Paul tells us in Philippians, is available to us today, as I mentioned. And Paul's prayer in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So the power of God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and placed him in heavenly places, the right hand of God. But the story goes on in chapter 2. And this is just amazing to me. Now, I know some of you, probably because of your connection with University of Michigan, were maybe not so excited about Michigan State being in the Final Four, but around the country, that was an amazing story that this school, Michigan State, would reach the Final Four. Unfortunately, they didn't go all the way. But in the world and in our country, there's a lot of things that people really get excited about, and there are things that really don't matter a whole lot, do they? As far as eternity is concerned. Basketball, football, and politics, and all that stuff that goes on that people are so driven by. We have a friend that she is glued to her TV, watching the news every day, And she gets so discouraged by it. I'm like, why do you do that? You know? I mean, she just gets so discouraged by it. I said, you know, don't even watch that. God is in control. We don't have to worry about anything. God is in control. But I'm getting off the subject. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you hath he made alive who were dead. Jesus Christ was dead in the grave, and God made him alive. He rose from the dead. And we have this spiritual, we'll call it spiritual resurrection. We were dead in our sins, and we are made alive. Made alive. Exciting thing. And he describes us in verses 2 and 3 here. I don't like to read these verses because it just reminds me of who I was before I was saved. And I don't like to think about that. In verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Wow, we were terrible people. We were terrible people, children of the devil. Now, we had two children, and our two children were saved at a very young age. I think like 5 years old or five or six or something like that, saved at a very young age. And you know, when they read that, they're like, you know, man, I must have been really wicked as a four-year-old, you know. It's really hard to understand our sinfulness when we're saved at a young age. I mean, on the one hand, I feel really bad that I was 37 years old when I was saved, but on the other hand, I know what I was like before I was saved, and I think there's a sense that you sometimes can appreciate your salvation a little bit more in that sense, that you know what God has taken you from. I think as a child, being saved as a child, you can appreciate that too when you see the wickedness around and you can say, wow, God saved me from that, being involved in that because he saved me at a young age. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for our salvation whenever it takes place. But wickedness, we see this. We talked about this a little bit last evening. We, as we travel around the world, particularly in places where there's a lot of witchcraft and that, we see this in people's lives, the control that Satan has over people and the demonic devices that go on. And so this is us, verses 2 and 3, before we were saved. But God, verse 4, but God interceded on our behalf. Christ's resurrection was a physical, bodily resurrection. Here we're talking about our spiritual resurrection, our new birth in Christ, and talks about this in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8, talking about our identification with Christ and his resurrection. But in verse 4, but God, it says, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many times did it say together there? That's amazing, isn't it? Verse 5, that he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. We are identified with Jesus Christ. God's amazing intervention in our life took place here. That time when the Holy Spirit moved us and we were drawn by the Father and we trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he raised us up, verse 6, raised us up together to be with Christ. It's just so exciting to be a child of God and to be identified with God. We are united with Christ in verse 20. It says, which he talking about the power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And that's where we are, according to verse 6. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is not our home where we are today. Our home is in heaven with the Lord. We are just pilgrims, sojourners here on the earth. We can't be so identified with the earth that we forget where we truly are, where our home truly is. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's a wonderful thought. So our home is in heaven. And it's all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. None of that would be possible. Our salvation would not be possible if it were not for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we remember today. Philippians chapter 3. Let's turn there for a minute. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 tells us again this thought of where we truly live. It says in verse 20, for our conversation or our home is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. As a child of God now, we are looking for that, for the Lord to come for us again. It could be today. Wouldn't that be amazing that the day we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he would come for us. He would come for us today in the rapture. But we earnestly wait for him to come. And it says in verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So as we consider the resurrection today, let's also reflect on our own salvation, and the joy that is to be a child of God, especially in the world in which we live in today. It's getting more and more apart from God, and so to be privileged to be a child of God, and then we also have a responsibility that goes along with that, which is especially now more important that we tell others about our Savior, our risen Lord. And so I'm thankful today for my salvation, and I praise the Lord that he did save me. And I praise the Lord for that time long ago when Christ was in that tomb for those 3 days, and then he was gone as those ladies came and looked, and he was risen as he said he would. So praise the Lord for that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for just these few thoughts that we could share this morning. We do thank you again for our risen Savior. We thank you for the joy we have to have such a great salvation because of the Lord, and that we can be today identified with our Savior, that our home is in heaven, and that we are raised up together with him in heavenly places. And help us, Lord, as we wait for that day that we would be united with him in heaven. Help us to live our days here on earth to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.